Now it's time for Power of Prophecy, continuing the legacy of Tex Mars, exposing evil, and promoting Jesus Christ as Savior. Here's your host, Jerry Barrett.
Hello, friends, and welcome to another edition of Power of Prophecy. I'm your host, Jerry Barrett. Honored to have you join me again this week. We are on part two of Trump and his Zio War Puppet Masters. My guest is Pat McShay. Pat, welcome to Power of Prophecy.
Hey, it's great to be here, Jerry.
Now, last week, I got a comment from one of our friends. He's a dear friend of the ministry. And I want to share this with Pat and with the listeners. Cliff sent me a message and he said, "Your show this week is another classic. You and Pat bat the truth back and forth with never a bobble." That's high praise right there in my eyes, Pat.
Yeah.
The fact that everybody seems to love our programs together because it's a conversation. It's not one-sided. It's just like a discussion, and they're privy to sit in the room with us, and I like that. That's the way I try to do all my interviews. It's like we're sitting on the back porch drinking some sweet tea, rocking to the sunset. And
right.
I enjoy our chats. Now, after our program last week, I came across a very interesting clip from Tucker Carlson's show, and he had Joe Kent. And I read Joe's letter on air last week, his resignation letter, and then this clip pops up, and I want to share it with everybody, and Pat and I will comment after we listen to Joe Kent. Here we go.
"We knew not that Iran was going to attack." He did not say that.
Right.
He said, "We knew that Israel was going to attack Iran, and in retaliation for those attacks by Israel against Iran, Iran might attack American forces. So the imminent threat that the Secretary of State is describing is not from Iran, it's from Israel."
Exactly. And I think this speaks to the broader issue. Who is in charge of our policy in the Middle East? Who is in charge of when we decide to go to war or not? In this case, with what the Secretary described, and later on the President, later on the Speaker of the House, and the way the events played out, the Israelis drove the decision to take this action, which we knew would set off a series of events, meaning the Iranians would retaliate. Now, I think there's a potential there where we could have done several different things. We could have simply said to the Israelis, "No, you will not. And if you do, then we will take something away from you." I think that it's fine that we offer defense to Israel. But when we're providing the means for their defense, we get to dictate the terms of when they go on the offensive. Otherwise, they stand to lose that relationship. And the Israelis felt emboldened that no matter what they did, no matter what situation they put us in, that they could go ahead and take this action and we would just have to react. And so that speaks to that relationship. But also it just shows that there was a lobby pushing for us to go to war. I know we'll get into that later on in the statement, but we had a real potential, I think, knowing what we know of the Iranians and how they react, and in particular, how they react to President Trump's leadership. The Iranians under President Trump's leadership, especially in his second term, they have shown that they take a very calculated approach to the escalation ladder. For instance, in the lead up to the 12-day war before Midnight Hammer, the Iranians didn't attack us. They were engaged in negotiations with us. When President Trump came back into office, they stopped their proxies who were attacking us under the Biden administration because they knew Biden was weak. They stopped their proxies from attacking us as well. So they knew President Trump was someone who wanted to negotiate, but more importantly, they knew that President Trump was not someone to mess with because he killed Qasem Soleimani. He killed Abu Mahdi Mohandas. He had defeated ISIS. They knew that President Trump was a man of action. He is militarily strong. And so they said, before we take an action, we need to make sure that it's calculated. So I think in this scenario, even if the Israelis told us we're going to strike on this date at this time, and we didn't, you know, try to negotiate with the Israelis and say, "Hey, we'll take something away from them," I think we still could have back-channeled to the Iranians and said, "Hey, if something happens here in the next couple of days, it's not us. We're still serious about negotiations, and we don't want to escalate this," because it's well known what the Iranians' plans were. We knew that they were going to hit potentially our bases in the region, potentially our allies. We knew about the Straits of Hormuz. All of these things, I think, were fairly well known.
He pretty well lays out the fact that we are controlled by the puppet masters who are these pro-war Zionists, didn't he?
Well, yeah, he did. And, you know, that goes back to during the negotiations before this started. Jared Kushner and Steve Witkoff were seen by everyone in the room as agents for Israel, not for America. So not only that, but Joe Kent was also on with Mark Levin yesterday. And, you know, like he told Tucker, that we kept changing, moving the goalposts. First it was a nuclear weapon, and then it was no enrichment at all. Then it was no ballistic missiles at all. So when you keep changing the goalposts, that means someone wants that to happen, right? And so, and who was pushing those things? It was Israel was pushing those things. And, you know, Mark Levin said, well, are you saying that Donald Trump was pushed into war by the Israelis? Of course he was. You know, a blind guy could see that.
More and more Americans are, aren't they, Pat?
Yeah, they really are. You know, recent Pew and Rasmussen polls, recent Gallup polls, they all show that between 55 and 60% of the respondents say they do not support Israel. So this is not an anti-Semitic stance. This is a foreign nation that is pushing us and our politicians into situations and wars that we do not want to be involved in. And then it comes back to, the Epstein files, that, you know, everyone believes that our Congress and Senate are being blackmailed. Professor Mohammed Mirandi, who lives in Tehran, he said that there are no talks going on right now with Trump. Trump's telling the media that he's in conversation and negotiation with the Iranians, but they're saying they're not talking to him. So why is he doing that? Is he doing it to prop up the stock market and the bond market and trying to keep oil down? You know, I saw where the oil is around $100 a barrel, and a lot of people think it's going to be $120 before you can blink. So this is going to destroy our economy. It's going to destroy the worldwide economy. I mean, if you look at it, the International Energy Agency just said that this war is already the worst global energy disruption in history. And Professor Mirandi said that the Iranians look at this as the Epstein cabal that they're fighting. So we're in trouble. And, you know, anybody that's still cheerleading on the sidelines, they need to start looking at how this is going to affect everything in the world real soon. It already is with, you know, the price of gas. It's going to start affecting the price of food, just everything.
Yeah, it sure is. You know, Trump was elected for another term on the promise that he would fix the economy Joe Biden and the demon rats in Congress had destroyed with the Inflation Reduction Act and all of the big spending that the federal government did. They had made headway with his Secretary of Treasury and implementing tariffs and certain things to help the economy. Jobs were up. Pay was going back up. It had gone stagnant again under the Democrat, resident Biden. Then all of a sudden, Israel decides that it's time to take out Iran. Let's expand greater Israel. We're going to go up there. And the fact that Trump and his Zionist sycophants that are surrounding him in the White House, all of his advisors, his cabinet members, every one of them is a pro-Zionist. I mean, Joe Kent talked about Rubio, the Secretary of State, saying that Iran was an imminent threat because Israel was going to invade Iran. And they were going to bomb Iran. So we're going to get dragged into it anyway, so we might as well join. That's stupid.
Well, and Larry Ellison, the billionaire friend of Trump's that just bought up about 20% of the media, he's on record saying that he vetted Marco Rubio to be Secretary of State for Bibi Netanyahu. So what's that tell you?
That tells me who's pulling the cart, and it's not the American people.
Yeah, you got the richest Jew in the world vetting our Secretary of State for the Prime Minister of Israel. So, yeah, that's not good.
And controlled media is complicit in this. You know, you and I were talking before the show. There are so many truth tellers, like Candace Owens, Tucker Carlson, Jimmy Dore.
Yeah, Megyn Kelly. Alex Jones has turned on him. I mean, you know, just everybody is turning on Trump. And, you know, I don't know who these people are that continue to support this action. You know, I wrote last week about a report that Trump was making a deal with Putin to negotiate a ceasefire with Iran, and that Trump would stop all Russian oil sanctions that are currently in place if he would help them. Some people thought that was crazy. But just a few days ago, Treasury Secretary Scott Bessent confirmed that was true, that they were going to release those sanctions. So you got Iran now threatening to blow up these desalination plants all over Saudi Arabia, Bahrain, the UAE. Those people don't have potable water. And if they take out those desalination plants, look at Riyadh in Saudi Arabia, has a population of 12 million people. If they take out the plant there, those people will be out of water in about 3 weeks. And what do you think will happen then? How long can you go without water before you drop dead?
So 3 days.
About 2 or 3 days. Yeah. 3 days.
It's crazy. The thing is, I hear that we're in talks with, like, Putin to help us negotiate a peace deal with Iran. But as soon as one of the leaders steps forward, Israel bombs them and kills them. Israel, I think the bloodlust that is emanating from Israel is apocalyptic.
Well, it really is. And, you know, that's their plan. Moshiach, they're waiting for Moshiach's return when they can turn the infidels, the non-Jews, into slaves for the Jews. That's what these Chabad Lubavitch Jews believe, and I've seen nothing that would dissuade me from thinking that.
For sure. You know, we were talking about the alternative media. If you look at the supporters, the people that are watching, Candace Owens' channel is through the roof. Tucker's through the roof. Joe Rogan, who we talked about off air, probably was the biggest influencer in getting Trump in office. Rogan has gone against Trump now. Who does Rogan? Yeah, who does Trump have? Yeah. He's got Laura Loomer. She's a nut job.
And no one listens to her.
No.
Mark Levin. Who listens to Mark Levin?
You know, I can't. He's so smug that he is a typical God's chosen people believer that we are going to be slaves according to his religion. And I'm saying we as in white people, black people, brown people, everybody except Jews are going to be enslaved if they have their way according to the Talmud. I think I read somewhere that they're promised 2,800 slaves each.
2,800, yeah. You know, Reuters confirmed that these Gulf states are reassessing, you know, their security dependence on Washington because, you know, let's face it, they're all being attacked right now and we're unable to do anything. Not only that, but a lot of people believe that it was Israel that attacked Saudi Arabia and some of these other Gulf states. So they do not want this war to end, and they do not want Trump to make a deal. And they will not stop until we have a regime change. So consider, you know, look at what's going to happen if the Gulf states all pull away from us. You know, the only way our petrodollar works, the only way we can, or we're allowed to continue to just print money, it's because of the petrodollar. If all these nations move toward Russia, China, and the yuan, or any other dollar that is not the petrodollar, that's going to sink our economy overnight.
You know, common sense people can see this, but those who are so vehemently for Israel are blind. The Christian Zionists, the neocons in D.C., they only see the end game that benefits Israel. And Joe Kent said it best. We control their economy in Israel. We can tell them, look, you're going to do this or we're going to pull funding. I mean, when you consider the billions of dollars that we send in taxpayer monies and military weaponry.
I can think of two things that would stop that. That would be the Epstein files, and that would be the Samson option, which if people don't know what the Samson option is, that's when if Israel feels like they are under attack and they're allies are leaving them behind, the Samson option is they will attack everyone with nuclear weapons before they go down.
Yeah, instead of hitting Isfahan, the nuclear site in Iran, maybe we should hit Dimona.
I think Iran has hit Dimona. I don't know how badly it was hit, but they did hit Dimona. I saw that a couple of days ago.
I don't remember where I saw it, Pat, but it was a news organization that talked about having a reporter in country, and I think it was Israel, and they were filming some of the destruction from these missiles that Iran has launched into Israel, and they were forced to delete the video they had shot, and they were arrested. That reminds me, what nation kills the most reporters globally there, Pat?
Oh, my gosh, Israel. They've killed over 250 in Gaza just in the last little over 2 years. 250.
So I wonder if that was a person that was reporting the truth that the missiles are getting through Operation Iron Dome, and they're landing in Israel. We can't let the public know that it's happening, that entire neighborhoods are being decimated just like they have done to Gaza, parts of the West Bank.
Yeah, they're still not allowing Western reporters into Gaza, and they're not allowing them to film. You know, same thing. They don't want anyone to know how badly they were hit, but from everything I've read and seen, Israel has been hit every bit as hard as Iran's been hit.
From the alternative media, I've seen the same thing, Pat. And the thing is, because you and I are talking about this and exposing how bad Israel is treating its neighbors, we are anti-Semitic. That phrase, they throw it out there, it's like a gauntlet, and they throw it down. The Zionist bankers will get behind it and go, I'm pulling your funding. I'm closing your credit card processing. Anytime anybody dares to speak up about the atrocities committed by Israel, the IDF, Netanyahu, they throw that moniker out there. And for years, it's worked, and it scared people to be 100% pro-Israel in fear. But the tide is turning, thankfully. People are waking up. They're seeing that the Jews in Israel are an antichrist. They have nothing but hate in their heart for Christians. The Christian Zionists don't see it because they have been brainwashed into believing that Genesis says, if you bless Israel, you'll be blessed. Look at Ted Cruz.
Yeah.
John Hagee. I mean, we have to tell the truth, Pat, and we have to hold up, because there are so many Christians in that area that are being just ethnically removed, the genocide that's going on.
Well, yeah, the really disgusting thing here is that Israel is using this war against Iran to go after Lebanon. They're bombing in Lebanon. They're already telling the Lebanon people that they are going to take all the land south of the Litani River, and they've been lusting after the Litani River for four decades because Israel's got the same water problem that all the Gulf states have. They don't have any.
Yeah.
And they really want the Litani River. And they're also, after violating the ceasefire for a second time in Gaza, they are still bombing Gaza. They're bombing refugee cities in southern Lebanon, and they are attacking people in the West Bank harder than they've ever done until Trump came in. Trump is allowing it. And it's just really disgusting. And they're still bombing. They're still stealing territory in Syria. And, you know, what people need to ask is, when are they going to start taking the property in Jordan and Egypt? You know, that's next. And they're even talking about Turkey being a threat. So they are not going to stop.
I saw that. And
yeah. Yeah, they're saying when they're done with Iran that something's going to have to be done about Turkey. It's just insane.
The boogeyman is all over the place, Pat.
I have been writing about the Greater Israel Project for a decade. And I'll tell you, it just keeps moving right along. And I wrote an article about 9/11 called All Roads Lead to Israel, 9/11. It spells it out in that article, the Greater Israel Project, the plan to take over and conduct regime change in seven countries, tells who wrote the plan for beating Netanyahu 30 years ago. Everything's in that article. Pick it up and read it. It's all over the internet.
Yeah. I don't understand why the blinders are so strong on these Christian Zionists, Pat. If you have eyes to see and ears to hear, you have heard Rabbi Schneerson. You've heard Bibi Netanyahu. They have total disdain for non-Jews and Christians in particular.
Well, yeah, the Rebbe, Rabbi Schneerson was just a vile individual who hated non-Jews. He said that non-Jews have a evil spirit, that their souls were evil. And well, most of these Chabad rabbis say that the best Gentile should be a slave and the rest should be killed. And they're still saying that. The Jews or the rabbis in Israel hate Christians, they hate Jesus, and they hate Americans. People need to go on YouTube and listen to these man-on-the-street interviews with these Israeli people. They just hate America. So the brainwashing is powerful, and people are just propagandized. It's Fox News. It's a lifetime, especially people our age. You know, people over 50 are the biggest supporters of Israel, and people under 40, especially people under 30, almost none of them support Israel. So it's just a matter of time before the whole world turns on them, and it has nothing to do with anything other than they're an evil country. And I don't think that about every Jew in America, but Israel, they are just, they're evil. Unfortunately, it's just sad, but read some of my articles. I write, you know, about what's really going on in the Middle East, and people just don't want to hear it.
No, you know, Pat, more and more people are starting to tune in. Thankfully, for those that had foresight, they realized that the internet could be a great medium for truth telling, podcasts, using Rumble and other video blogs to point out truth. Then we've got Tucker and Candace that have their own shows started on X, and now they have their own websites where they're producing and putting quality programming on that really gets to the heart of the matter and starts telling us what's going on. The guests are allowed to speak freely. Can you imagine Joe Kent getting on? I mean, he was on Mark Levin, and Levin kept trying to cut him off. Didn't want him to get anything out there.
Well, he sure didn't want him on his TV show. Maybe Fox wouldn't let him.
But the control over the narrative is getting more and more. You mentioned it, and the researchers at Pew and Gallup and all of the different polls that are out there, they're showing that the baby boomers are still in bed with the Zionists. But
yes,
the younger they get, the bigger the discrepancy of support for Israel becomes. And we can go back. That's one of the reasons that Charlie Kirk had to be eliminated, because he was beginning to see the light, the truth, that Israel is filled with evil, un-Christian, anti-Christ people.
Yeah.
And he was reaching the youth in colleges. And now there are preparatory schools that have TPUSA organizations, albeit not what Charlie had envisioned, because Erica is a Zionist herself. But that's a whole nother program. Pat, we have flown through 30 minutes, man. We have to take a brief pause. So my guest today is Pat McShay. We're discussing Trump and his Zio War puppet masters. This is part two. We're going to take a pause, and when we come back, we're going to dive right back in. You're listening to Power of Prophecy. Stay with us, won't you? We'll be right back. Hello, friends. Jerry Barrett back with you again. We have a brand new book that we are offering through the ministry. It's entitled One Nation Under Blackmail. Actually, it is a two-volume set. Following World War II, every U.S. administration has aligned itself with the drug traffickers, arms dealers, branches of the mob, known enemies of the state, assassins, and involved itself with murder, smuggling, human trafficking, the sex trade, Ponzi schemes, money laundering, bank fraud, and many other illegal activities. Exhaustively researched, Whitney Webb's One Nation Under Blackmail is a damning indictment of the consequences resulting from the nearly century-old relationship between both U.S. and Israeli intelligence, along with the organized crime network known as the National Crime Syndicate. This book explores how that nexus between intelligence and organized crime directly developed the sexual blackmail tactics and networks that would later enable the sexual blackmail operation and other crimes of pedophile and sex trafficker Jeffrey Epstein. Discover a comprehensive history of the interconnectivity between sections of the government, the military-industrial complex, the banking industry, and organized crime and sexual blackmail. While other books on Jeffrey Epstein focus on the depraved nature of his crimes, his wealth, and his most famous politically connected friends and acquaintances, this book reveals the extent to which Epstein's activities were state-sponsored through an exploration of his intelligence connections. One reader posted a review. They said, quote, "To learn that corporations like American Express, Bank of America, Pennzoil, The Limited, Victoria's Secret, TWA, and more are all involved. And the banks, every single one you can think of is involved in these illegal activities. The CIA, the FBI, governors, district attorneys, senators, congressmen, cabinet members, complete industries such as liquor, shipping, trucking, publishing, machinery, metal, and more. This is a two-volume set. We're only asking $45. Please add $6 shipping and handling. That'll make your total $51 for One Nation Under Blackmail. You can order your copy today by phoning us toll-free in the United States and Canada at 1-800-234-9673. Again, that's 1-800-234-9673. If you care to phone our regular line, that number is 512-263-9780. We're in the office Monday through Friday, 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. Central Time. We accept Visa, MasterCard, Discover, and American Express. You can use those charge cards at our secure shopping cart at powerofprophecy.com. powerofprophecy.com. There's an ad for this book on the main page. Click on it, put in your name, address, charge card, shipping method, hit submit, we'll get it and get it coming to you. Now, if you care to send in a check, money order, or cash, please make your check or money order payable to Power of Prophecy, and you can mail it to us here at 4819 R.O. Drive, Suite 102, Spicewood, Texas, and our zip code is 78669. I will tell you, this is an outstanding two-book set written by Whitney Webb. You need to get your copy today. I was flabbergasted when I read it. Okay, let's return to our regular program. My guest today is Pat McShay. Pat, welcome back.
Hey, it's great to be back, Jerry.
Now, I mentioned TPUSA, even getting into prep schools and high schools, but during the break, Pat brought something up that had totally skipped my eyeballs, but It involves Erica Kirk, TPUSA, and a university in Arkansas?
Yeah, the university in Arkansas, that they just did a TPUSA event there that Erica spoke at. And about a week or two after they did the event, the head of the chapter there issued a statement and said that they are going to break with TPUSA because they don't like the direction that Turning Point's taken since Charlie died. So I think they don't like this Zionist movement going on inside TPUSA. And there are people that work at TPUSA or left there, got fired, that said that Israel was taken over and they felt like Mossad was running TPUSA. So I think that's what's going on.
Not a shock, because the propaganda that flew and denigrated Charlie to try to make him look like, well, he was separating from the Jewish money that had supported him, that he was anti-Semitic and blah, 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 blah. Then you find out that as soon as Erica is appointed the head of TPUSA, the Zionist money bags started talking to her and bringing their funds back into TPUSA. And when you see the machinations going on behind the scenes that Candace has talked about, that others that have left TPUSA, whether they were fired or just couldn't stand the direction change, they know that TPUSA has become a propaganda wing for Israel and the Mossad.
Yeah, I wrote a while back that Charlie was running a Christian organization that he realized was a Israeli money laundering operation. I think that's what's been going on.
That I have no doubt. And when he realized that he was being used in such a way and it was backed by antichrists, that his conviction and his belief that Christ is our Lord and Savior drove him to separate from these evildoers, and it drove the Mossad into taking him out. We know that the best assassins in the entire world are Mossad operatives, and they have the logistics set up to handle events like this. They have patsies lined up. Their money speaks volumes. I mean, what, the dad turned the son in? The alleged shooter of Charlie Kirk? Because he got a $50,000 or a $500,000 reward or whatever. He got millions. Now he's no longer in the limelight, and controlled media is not going to talk about this.
Yeah, that's going to be interesting. I think they're trying to get a closed trial. They don't want a lot of eyeballs on this trial. And it just looks like they're just going to railroad this guy, get a guilty plea, and we'll never hear about it again.
They're going to make vacuum.
And they're just going to look at all the people like Candace Owens or anyone that doesn't buy it, and they'll just say, hey, tough luck. You know, he's done. It's over.
Yeah, they're going to McVeigh him. They're going to get him in a cell, and they're going to jab him with something, or somebody's going to come visit him and poison him, and he's going to end up dead because dead men tell no tales. I mean, that goes all the way back to the Kennedy assassination. Why did Rubenstein take out Lee Harvey? Because dead men tell no tales.
They never told the truth about that. Jack Ruby worked for the Chicago outfit. He'd been a mobster for years, and he was involved in trafficking back in the 50s and 60s. We never got the truth about Jack Ruby.
And his connection with the Jewish. They put the Sicilians and the Italians in the front. But the money behind all of this was Meyer Lansky and the Jews. And Michael Collins Piper lays it out in his outstanding book, Final Judgment. But the playbook is the same one. If you dare to look at how Kennedy's assassination was handled, how Timothy McVeigh was handled, what happened with the alleged hijackers and the people that flew, allegedly, the planes into the Twin Towers. You ask yourself, who benefited? Cui bono. That's my favorite Italian saying. Who benefited? Larry Silverstein did. And now we know that Silverstein just bought a building in California that's a high rise. Maybe that'll be the next false flag event, that something's going to blow it up and Silverstein will make billions more in insurance and he won't have to fix anything. That's how the scratching of the back happens. And in your article, you wrote that Tucker exposed a false flag event happened in Qatar in Saudi Arabia.
Yes. They believe that Israel is behind both of those. And, you know, it helps Israel. If something blows up in Saudi Arabia and they can blame that on Iran, then that'll drag Saudi Arabia into the conflict. And that's what the Jews want. They want the Gulf states to turn on Iran. But because that was exposed, I think these guys are looking at that now, and they do not want anything to do with this. And, you know, I agree with some of these people that think that it would not surprise me if they go with the BRICS nations and instead of the U.S. So they can see that we are not offering the protection that we promised them. And it's obvious now who we care about more, Israel or the Gulf states that are keeping the petrodollar afloat. And they see Israel as a welfare state, which is what everyone should do. Israel is a welfare state. They can't do anything without the U.S. While the Gulf states, they've got all the oil. They've got all the money. And what do they need us for if they can get protection from China or the Russians or the BRICS nations, which include India, China, Russia, you know, so it makes more sense for them to go with the BRICS nations.
Yeah, we've been a proxy for Israel since 1948. We've been kowtowed. And you say that they don't do anything. You're right. How do they have nuclear bombs?
They stole them, and they use traitors within the U.S. military and the government, probably people as high as generals and senators to get it done. Look at LBJ.
Yeah.
LBJ was just a Zionist through and through. He covered up. He not only covered up the attack on the USS Liberty, he was involved in the planning of the USS Liberty. There's an excellent article by Laurent Guyette. He's a French author that wrote a fantastic article called Angleton, the Mossad, and the Kennedy Assassination. Everybody ought to look that up. And it will tell you exactly what was going on back then. And anyone that doesn't believe that Israel was involved in the Kennedy assassination needs to read that.
Right. There are so many really excellent books and articles that actually tell you who was behind it. But you'll never know it because it is censored by most everybody. Anytime there is any implication that Israel or the Jews or the Zionists were behind a certain event, it gets banned. It gets blacklisted. I can't tell you how many items that used to be on Amazon are no longer there because they're exposing the evil that is behind the Israeli, greater Israeli plan.
Yeah, I wrote an article years ago about Amazon Books, and Amazon Books uses the Southern Poverty Law Center and the ADL, the Anti-Defamation League, to help them weed out books, anti-Semitic books. So what they do is anything that puts Israel or the Jews in a bad light, they ban. Good example is Mike King. You had Mike on your program.
Yep.
They banned every single book he wrote or he's written. That's just one example. And his books are great.
I'll give you another one. Henry Mako. He's Jewish, right?
Henry Jewish.
Now, I believe he was using the printing arm of Amazon called CreateSpace to publish his newest book, Illuminati 4. It's been banned by Amazon, which means CreateSpace is not going to print any more copies. And I know this, because Henry has reached out to our ministry and said, I want you guys to publish my book, Illuminati 4, under your imprimatur and offer it through your ministry so that this message keeps going out.
I bought his book and read most of it. I haven't gotten through all of it. I read so much online, I don't read many books anymore, and my eyesight is not what it used to be. But, Henry's books are fantastic, and he's also got Illuminati 1, 2, and 3.
Yep.
I do think that everything Henry writes is fantastic. I'm a big fan, and I've read most of his articles on his website, which everyone should visit, but he's fantastic.
Now, you mentioned that Turkey will be next. You reported that the former Prime Minister Naftali Bennett recently talked about Turkey.
I didn't put the exact quote, but I saw him say it in a video. And he said that after Iran, we need to worry about Turkey. So, these people are just setting up their future foes that they want America to intervene for them. And again, I do not understand, other than blackmail, why America supports Israel the way we do. No questions asked. We don't ask any questions about their atrocities and we cover up for their genocide. The UN brings in dozens of eyewitness reports, about their atrocities, and we just come in and poo-poo them and veto any investigation that's done. People are getting sick of that. I know I've been sick of it forever.
A long time, Pat, I guarantee you.
Yeah.
And Trump has said that we're not going to put boots on the ground, so we're not going to put our service members in harm's way by fighting a ground war, but he's talking out of both sides of his pie hole because he just sent the USS Tripoli with a bunch of Marines on board.
Yeah, so that will put about 7,500 soldiers in the region in the last 30 or so days. And, how many soldiers we had when we took Okinawa, an island in the Pacific back in World War II, we had 50,000 there trying to take that island. And they think that we're going to go in to Iran that has 93 million people and do what with 7,000?
Did you?
To me, it's ridiculous.
Did you see Lindsey Graham's comment about, was it Kark Island?
Yes.
He said we need to invade and control that land.
I wish I could get Lindsay in front of me so I could smack some sense into him. He's just a fool.
He's bought.
I can't believe. Well, and he sounds like he's drunk when he goes on these shows. He really does. He slurs his speech, and they just keep bringing him back on. No one ever challenges these ridiculous statements that he makes.
Do you know who he reminds me of? Bomb, bomb,
John
bomb.
McCain.
Bomb, bomb, Morant. Exactly.
John McCain. Yeah. Well, you know, he and McCain were connected at the hip for years in Ukraine and all these others. You know, McCain was pushing bombing Iran 20 years ago.
Yep. He sounds just like John Stinkin' McCain.
He does. And I couldn't stand John McCain, man.
No, he was a piece of trash in my eyes. And
he
lived in Arizona, so he was your senator there for a while.
Yeah. You know, and I couldn't believe, I never talked to anybody that liked him. I'd always say, you know, how's John McCain still winning these elections? And everybody said, I don't know. I can't stand the guy. So I don't know. I really don't know. I think they were just stealing those elections. I don't believe he was winning them. I don't know.
He was part of the machine. You know, they talk about Tammany Hall up in New York. Arizona has the same thing in Maricopa County. So.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. He was part of the political machine thanks to his father-in-law's money? Because his dad was the admiral behind the USS Liberty fiasco. John McCain was a trashy, alleged pilot.
His father was among the people that came into the Flamingo back when Bugsy Siegel was murdered. Her father was involved in that branch of the crime family. But yeah, he was given one of the largest Budweiser distributorships in the country for his partnership in Vegas. And, you know, he made a fortune off of that, which, you know, the McCain family still owns today. So.
Yep. Now.
It all goes back to organized crime.
Doesn't it, though? There is some rumblings from military members that say that we need, they call it an off ramp. We need to back away from the button. We need to back off the bombing campaigns. We need to have an exit strategy to get out of this mess. Do you think it's going to happen?
Well, the problem, and Mohammed Mirandi said, you know, the Iranians are not ready to stop. They think they're winning, and I think they probably are. But, you know, you can destroy a bunch of buildings, but, you know, what he said is what this has done. It's coalesced the support for the regime. You know, it's done the exact opposite of what the administration thought was going to happen. You know, Bibi Netanyahu is calling on the Iranian people to rise up. Well, they're going to rise up, but it's not going to be against the regime. It's going to rise up against this foreign invasion, and boots on the ground are a horrible idea. Trump needs to get out. He needs to make a deal, and he needs to tell the Israelis that we are done with regime change operations in the Middle East. Matter of fact, we ought to get out of the Middle East other than our associations with, you know, the Gulf states that are popping up the petrodollar, and we ought to just tell Israel, no more. No more missiles. No more arms. If you want to invade Iran, go ahead and do it, but we're going to sit it out. We're not involved. That's what has to happen.
Yeah, I agree with Joe Kent. We need to put stipulations into any more financial support.
Well, yeah, I said, you know, when Trump took office, if he cuts off the missiles from Israel and cuts them off from Ukraine and cuts off funding, then these wars would not have happened. Right? Now, what would Ukraine have done? They couldn't have done anything if Trump hadn't continued to send them arms and money. Same thing with Israel. Israel wouldn't have done anything. And Trump wonders why people think that Bibi is leading him around by the nose.
Yeah. The only way you're going to neutralize Israel, because they're constantly bragging about the Samson option, which means they're going full nuclear on everybody around. And they seem to think that they're going to live through this nuclear meltdown in the entire region, that they're going to welcome their Messiah. He's coming back and all the Jews are going to live and everybody's going to become slaves to the Jews. The only way that we can squash any further empire building and the Greater Israel Project is if we put American boots on the ground in Israel, we take out the nuclear plants, we take out their nuclear weapons, and we start prosecuting the crimes that the IDF is committing against Palestinians and every other nation in the region.
Yes.
But it can't happen because the politicians are propped up with AIPAC. They're propped up by being blackmailed into doing, the Epstein files prove this, doing Israel's bidding. Until we clean house here in America and in Israel, nothing is going to change. Do you think so?
Right. And did you see Israel just threaten one of their spokespeople, threaten Russia the other day? I mean, I think these Israelis are out of their mind. They were saying that if Russia thinks that they can, you know, do this or that, that, you know, that they'll start, you know, attacking, targeting these people that make anti-Israel statements. And Lavrov came back and said, you better watch what you're saying about Russia. I mean, I just can't believe it. So they're way too big for their britches.
They have been since 1948, Pat.
They really have. And I've always, you know, I said in my last article, we need a coalition between the U.S., the EU, Russia, and China, and bring in India, bring in some of the other BRICS nations, and they all need to get together and disarm Israel, period. That's the only thing that will make the world a safe place.
That's the answer right there. 100%, Pat. You know, if we were in charge, maybe we could save the world and we could fix things. But unfortunately, all we can try to do is expose the evildoers and try to wake people up. And we have flown through an hour, brother. I want to thank you so much for coming on and doing a couple-hour program with me. It means a lot. I appreciate it.
Oh, it's great to be here, Gary. Thanks.
Okay, that's going to take care of this week's program. My guest has been Pat McShay. We want to thank you for tuning in and giving us an hour of your time. We greatly appreciate it. And as always, I pray that you will tune in again next week at this same time. Tune in and discover the power of prophecy.